Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans 6. Romans 6, 4 through 7 says this. It says, therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of his Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Yeah, I'm just going to stop right there. I think that's a good intro for this sermon. I was going to plan on reading the rest, and I will read the rest later on, but I'm just going to stop right there for now. So we're talking about baptism. We're talking about this Whatever Christian Ought to Know series, talking about the basics of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have a life new. And we talked again earlier, I said, last week we talked about salvation. We talked about what salvation means, all of this stuff. And now we're going to talk about the next step, which is baptism. And this is, again, to just give us a understanding of what it means to be Christians. And I hold these things very true, that if we are going to call ourselves Christians, everything I talk about is the things that we should do, that we should walk, the way that we should act as Christians. And baptism is one of those things that we, I think within, especially within the Southern Baptist, you know, we call it an ordinance of the church and all that stuff. We have two ordinances of the church. We have baptism and we have the Lord's Supper. And we just kind of have made this almost a kind of idea of just another tradition, a church tradition. But this is in no fact a church tradition. This is a biblical doctrine. This is a biblical stance that was taken. And be very honest, there are denominations that have split over how to do baptism. And as Baptists, we practice baptism by immersion. And that means to, as some say, get dunked. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk all about that because this is such a beautiful subject to talk about. Having been able to perform baptisms, having been baptized myself, and I'm one of those people, and Judy's another one in the room, that have been baptized twice. We got the sprinkling, and we got the dunking. So, we don't remember one, and we made the choice on the other. Because we were both brought up Lutheran. But this is important. Why? Because when Jesus started his ministry, what was the first thing he did? He got baptized. He went to the Jordan, went to John the Baptist, and he was baptized. And what was the last thing he talked about on earth? Going, teaching, and baptizing. So this is a very important doctrine of the church, doctrine of the Bible. And we need to hold it to that. Again, I fear that just sometimes we've just kind of made this as just another tradition, or this is what happens. But this is so important for the church, so important for us as we walk in Christ. So my first point today is the actual act of baptism and the method. Why do we do this? Why do we do baptism by immersion? And, you know, my points are kind of all tied together because, well, that's the way it should be. But it all deals with the word, which the word just means to immerse. But I'll talk about that in my next point. But now we're talking about how we actually do it, why we have the baptistry back there, why we fill it up, why we dunk people, what is our method, why do we do that? Because it's biblical. Now, the first thing is, I want to talk about Jesus. Because, probably best person to start with, right? So when Jesus was starting his ministry, he took a trip. And he walked to find John the Baptist to get baptized in the Jordan. Now, again, talking about immersion, he went to the spot where John, this crazy guy with wild clothes, wild diet, was dunking people under the water. And he did this at a certain spot in the Jordan because that's where the most water was at. And Jesus actually had to travel a good distance to go find John the Baptist. I mean, Jesus knew where he was at because, you know, again, he was his cousin, and we know how family talks. He's like, you know your cousin, you hear what he's doing? He's wearing this camel hair suit, and he's eating stuff out of the fields, and he's dunking people in the water. And Jesus goes, well, I need to go see that. No, Jesus went because he was going to go start his ministry. He was going to go, and he was going to get baptized, because that's the way it was. And when he went to John, what was John's response? I'm not even worthy to undo your sandals. And then Jesus says, this is the way it has to be. And then Jesus got baptized. He went under the water to be baptized. He was immersed in the Jordan. And when he came up, see, that's what it talks about. Every time in the Bible where it talks about baptism and actually the process of somebody being baptized, it says they came up out of the water. And if you have your Bible, you can turn over to Acts 8. This is the story of Philip and the eunuch, where God had awoken Philip and said, you need to go south, you need to go to this road, you're going to meet this guy, you're going to talk to him, and this guy is going to be reading scripture. He's going to be reading the scripture, and it's your job to tell him what it means. It's a pretty good calling. Because sometimes people will pick up this book, they will start reading it, they will have no idea what it says, and then they need somebody to teach them what it says. So Philip went, and he taught them, and he talked about Jesus Christ. And it says it right there in verse 34. Then the eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying about? Who is he saying this about? Himself or someone else? And again, he is reading in the book of Isaiah. He's reading the scripture out of Isaiah. And right here we see that Isaiah was talking about Jesus because Philip said he's talking about Jesus. He is talking to you the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. How cool is that? Knowing that we have this nice leather-bound book or however you have your Bible, and we know that Isaiah is way back in the Old Testament. That was hundreds of years before Jesus was even around. And this eunuch probably only had, he may not have even had all of Isaiah. He might have just had a portion of it. And he's reading this as he's traveling down. He doesn't know who it's talking about. He asks the question, is it a prophet or who is it? Who is he talking about? And he says, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Verse 36 is, as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. Now, I'm going to probably guess that they were continuing talking as they were traveling down the road about Jesus, because it's alluded to right there at the beginning. And then the eunuch said, look, there's some water. What is keeping me from being baptized? So apparently they had gotten to that part of the story of Jesus Christ. So says Philip, he ordered the chariot to stop. Just stop. We are going to go down to this water, and we are going to baptize you. And then verse 39, what does it say? When he came up out of the water. When he came up out of the water. That means that there was an immersion that took place. He came up out of the water from being baptized. Now this, I mean, again, evidence. Now, again, there are methods out there. There are things that separate the church, and I want to just talk briefly about that because as I alluded to, you get sprinkled or you get immersed, depending on what denomination you're a part of. And I have listened to many books, many talks about the difference between immersion and infant baptism is what it's known. There's some bigger words for it. There's paedobaptism, creative baptism, stuff like that. But we'll just say believer's baptism and infant baptism. There we go. We'll make it simple. And there is a whole idea of a covenant system with infant baptism and things in that nature. But people always look and just say, when he came up out of the water, as Baptists. We Baptists, we understand it. We look at the scripture. We go, it's clear right there. But one of the greatest things I ever heard, and this was from R.C. Sproul, which R.C. Sproul, he's a great theologian. I love all of his ministry that he's done, but I understand that his church was basically Presbyterian. And he practiced in infant baptism. And the one thing he said, because him and John MacArthur would joke about this all the time whenever they got together. And I remember one time listening to a book by R.C. Sproul about baptism, and he was talking about this. And one of his schools, or his school that he has, Reform Bible College, I believe it is, down in Florida, he always says that a lot of Baptists would come to this school. And we all have a lot of respect for R.C. Sproul. And he has left us, he has went home, but his ministry has lasted many years. And one of the things he said about the idea of baptism, and he goes, we love to come together and worship together, talk together, and discuss things together. And we do it as brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you believe in believer's baptism, that's great. Feel free to change my mind. And he offered that for people to come in and to actually talk to him about it. And I love that idea. Because one of the things I'm going to talk about a little bit later is about what actually saves you. What actually saves you. And we'll talk about that. But again, we as Baptists, we look at these statements, and we understand that the word for baptism means immersion. And we look at the examples in the Bible, and we see that just as Jesus did, just as this eunuch did, they went up from the water, they came up. And it also alludes back to our original scriptures, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But let's talk about the word, my second point. Let's talk about this word, baptism. Now, this is a fun fact about this. This is the untranslated word in history. See, when the king was coming up, or not, he didn't come up with it, but he commissioned this Bible, the King James Bible, to be done. They all got together. There were different committees that got together, and they came to this word, which, if I say it right, it's baptizo, something along those lines. And our seminary student shaking his head yes, so I'm good to go, you know. My original languages are a little shaky sometimes. But this is not a translated word. It's a transliterated word. Because the word baptized was actually a very common word around that 1611 time, you know, when they were writing that book. Or, you know, not writing. You know what I mean. But the word was a common word. In Adrian Rogers' book, where I'm getting a lot of this information was, he gave two examples. If kids were down in the water and they were dunking each other, they were baptizing them. If a person was doing their dishes and they were dunking their dishes, they were baptizing their dishes. It was a common word that meant immerse, that you immerse something in. However, the church at the time was practicing infant baptism. They were sprinkling, so there became a problem. Because, well, a church at that time, they didn't like to be wrong. Hence the Reformation that had happened before that. And so, they were looking at this word and saying, you know what this word means, right? And everyone, yeah, it means to immerse. And they're like, well, the Pope and the King, they're not going to like this. So they transliterated it to what it is. And we sit there and we go, that's not what the original word means. It means to immerse. So this word baptize, literally means to dunk under. No matter what scripture you're looking at, whenever you see that word in the Bible, it means to immerse someone under the water. So, again, it came to this translation thing of saying, okay, What do we do? Well, we're just going to make it kind of sound like it and, you know, not really mean what it means, you know, because we got our system in place. Well, again, we know that before that we had the Reformation. We had people going against what the church at the time was saying. You had people like Martin Luther who still didn't quite get it right. That's okay, because you had others that did. And they said, we know what this means. This is how we're going to do it. And again, I love the fact that when I became a Christian, and I've been kind of saying this a lot lately this week. You know, when I became a Christian, it was late, kind of later in my life, and I became a Christian, and then I became Southern Baptist. Why? Because I opened the Bible, and I said, okay, where do I want to, you know, what denomination do I see in these scriptures? You know, so I was a Christian for a little while before I even got baptized. Because I was doing this whole idea of searching and understanding. And when I got to this word, baptize, I saw the way that it was done in the Bible. You know, and I didn't know the original languages at the time. I didn't know any of that. But I sit there and I looked and I saw the way Jesus did it. And I said, that's the way I want to do it. So then I was looking, I mean, Baptists aren't the only ones that are doing immersion. But I sit there and I looked at it and I said, this is where I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to do it because I want to do it the way Jesus did it. But then as I started to study and as I started to look more, I saw that this word actually means to immerse. And I was like, hey, I got it right. Because it is important to understand what words mean. Words matter. My third point is the meaning. And again, I want to go back to Romans 6 and finish this up. Romans 6, 4, what is the meaning of baptism? What is this picture that we do with baptism? Again, it says in verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if you have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we are certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was sacrificed with him. Verse 6. For we know that our old self was sacrificed with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we are no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, the meaning of this was a picture of what Jesus did at the cross and that entire time. The meaning of baptism for us is that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, we're not actually going and nailing ourselves to a cross. I've seen people do that, and it's painful. I mean, that was why it was such an effective torture method for the Romans. But it goes back to even our earlier talk during the 99 Essential Christian Doctrines, this new life that we take on, this new life that we adopt, this thing that says, I used to be one way, but now I'm new. And again, I can sit there and I can think about the way I was before I became a Christian. Now, I wasn't obviously that bad of a guy. You know, I never killed anyone. That's what they all say. But we lived a life that was according to ourselves. We lived a life that was pleasing to ourselves. We only did things that pleased us. And now we've been changed. And that old self, that old person that we was, It died. It didn't just back off. It died. And now we are made new. We are this new person that represents God. That's why the Bible calls us Christ's ambassadors. Because whenever we walk now, we are no longer our old self. And sometimes that takes a lot of explaining to people, especially in those first few years when you run into people and they're thinking you that you're your old self, and you have to say, no, I'm something new. You know, we understand that in these words, we are representing our old self dying. Again, that picture of a baptism, if you can think of your own baptism or if you've seen a baptism before, that you go under, just as a dead man will be buried. And then you come out raised anew. That's beautiful. That is a beautiful, beautiful sight. Because it speaks volumes to the world. I love hearing the stories. And usually these stories also involve people getting rocks thrown at them. But when you have people in these very restrictive countries that get baptized, they will walk to a river and they will go get baptized, and then they have to walk through a crowd of people that hate them, that will throw rocks at them, that will try to make them bleed, and they usually wear white robes when they do this. And I've seen stories and I've read stories where these robes will just be bloody at the end. But they are happy to do this. They are happy to make this walk because they are Christians now. And that brings me to my last point, point four, which I realize now it's going to say point three again because I didn't change that on my slide. Unless Roy caught it. Nope. Our motive, the motive that we take. Why do we do this? Now I'm going to separate something real fast for you. Salvation happens when you accept Jesus into your life. You are saved. You don't need baptism to be saved. Say that again. You do not need baptism to be saved. But I do believe to be a follower of Jesus, you do need to be baptized. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, to walk in His path, to do everything that you're called to do, you have to be baptized. Because we have to obey God's commands. Again, it says that, I'm going to go back to the verses that we talked about last week. 1 John 1, it says in verse 3, for this is what love for God is, to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not a burden. And then going back to one of the last things that Jesus said, go teach and baptize in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. As Christians, we are walking, a walking representation of Jesus. And our goal in life is to be more Christ-like. Every step you take, and think of it like this, you're climbing a mountain. You start at the bottom, and you start to climb. You start to go. Your goal is to get to the top of the mountain. Now, if you've ever been high up in altitude, you know that the air starts to get a little thin, starts to get a little harder. And if you stop, you potentially never start up again. You just give up, start to go back down. It's Same thing with Christianity. As we start on this mountain of Christianity, we see Christ at the top. We're trying to get there. Now, we will get there, but we're trying to get as close to Jesus as we can here on earth. So as you walk daily, you are walking up that mountain. You're doing everything you can to get as close to the top of that mountain. You don't stop. You don't plateau. You don't find a nice spot in the middle and say, hey, I'm good here. You continue to go up. Now, I'll be honest. On this side of heaven, we're not going to get perfect. I'll break the bad news to you. We can't be perfect because of sin in our life. But we can get as close as we can. And then Jesus will give us those glorified bodies one day. But our job as Christians is to never stop. It is never to plateau. It is not to turn around and go back down. The Bible actually talks about this as the milk and the meat of Christianity. Now the words and the teaching, and actually the people that wrote these words, Paul and in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, I don't separate that, Paul and then the author of Hebrews, wrote especially about this. And even in some parts saying, I can't give you meat because you're not there yet. Because you've stopped. You stopped being I don't want to say you stopped being a Christian, but you just stopped acting like it and you just plateaued. God wants us to be in the meat. He wants us to be at the top. He wants us to get as close as we can, and we cannot stop. Our motive is to never stop in our Christian life. And that starts with baptism. As we early on, we talked about salvation last week. We talked about how awesome that is. I got a little excited about that. We talked all about that. And the next step about being a Christian is baptism. Is making that act. Is to take that step to show the world who you are. And then you just continue to go up. Now, I will say you may stumble, you may slip. That's okay. Because God will be there to grab you by the arm. He said, take up my yoke and let's do this together. I love the Christian faith. I love the fact that we get to have this such personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I love the fact that he has given us these examples and said, live according to the way I did things. Don't ask the question, what would Jesus do? Look in the Bible and see, what did Jesus do? Understand that everything he wants you to know on this side of heaven is right here in these words. And grab it and read it. And as we continue to talk about what every Christian ought to know, we focus on baptism. Because that is one of the first steps of being a Christ follower, is to actually follow his example, hold to his command, and be baptized. And I love the fact that we're Southern Baptists and we do it right. Now let's pray. Father, I want to come to you right now and just thank you so much for the message that you've given to us, the examples that you've given to us, allowing us to know how and why we should be baptized. And Father, I do pray, first, if there's anyone in here that needs you for salvation, let this be their day. Let them call upon your name and be saved. Let them take that blood and be washed clean. But I also pray that if there's anyone in here now that is thinking about baptism, that is thinking about maybe they should be baptized, let them take this time to just pray and ask, God, move me. God, I am so thankful that you've given us these words in your Bible. I'm so thankful that you've given men the responsibility over the years to understand the original language, to actually sit down and write these words and to translate them into words that we have. I thank you for our reformers that have fought to keep these words to actually mean what they mean. And Father, I thank you for giving it to us so easy in this day and age to have your word, to understand your word. But Father, don't let us be weak in our studies. Let us be strong. Let us be able to get to the meat of the scriptures and not just stay on the milk. Let us continue to climb higher and higher to obey your word, to obey your ordinances, to obey the doctrines that are found in the scripture. And Father, as we do this, let us turn around and share these words with others. Let us sit down and talk with our family and our friends. Give us the opportunity to do that, Lord. And Lord, just as we know your promise. You will be with us until the end of the age. Thank you that the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every Christian, empowering us, teaching us, giving us those gifts that we use. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for this message, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please...